Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
A whole bunch of people sent me this story, and it's a problem we've talked about before, where you own a house, but somebody moves into it without your permission. So you call the police and go, hey, there's trespassers in my house. And the police show up and talk to the trespassers and go, no, we met somebody on Facebook Marketplace, and they said that they would lease us this house. And so we signed a lease. We paid them some money. We climbed in the window. Now we live here. And they show the police a piece of paper that looks like a lease. And the police go, gee, I don't know. You say you own it. They've got a lease. Go to court. And so a lot of people find that result disconcerting, as do I, by the way. It would upset me very much, which we'll talk about at the end of this video, what I would do if it were to happen to me. But a man from Nevada thought to himself, what can I do here? And he did one of the most obvious things that some people had suggested to me in the comments beneath previous videos I've done on this topic. But of course, what he did take some effort and some guts, shall we say. Nevada man turns the tables on squatters by squatting himself in the home they were squatting in. That is his home. So here's how that works. John Levine wrote this in the New York Post. A Nevada handyman turned the tables on squatters who were actually in his mother's California home, but he had the right to do this. So after local officials said they could offer no assistance getting them out, he took matters into his own hands. The man's the executive director of the Las Vegas-based United Handyman Association, by the way, and he made a YouTube video to describe what he had done. And the trouble started after his father passed away and his mother could no longer live alone in the family home. So they're going to put the home up for rent, and she was not living there. So meanwhile, a woman who identified herself as a prison guard reached out to the man and said, you know, can I rent the home from you, which is in Northern California? And he said, well, let's talk about it. She said, well, I don't have any money, and I've got no credit. So can I rent it from you? To which he said, unfortunately, I can't rent to you on those terms because we're going to need money. And you're probably going to need some form of credit that we can show that you have the ability to pay this rent. So he turned her down, but she apparently really liked the house. So she ended up having a truck of furniture and literally moved into the house, the man said. So he said, I'm sorry, I can't work with you. She moved in anyway. So realtors who were trying to rent the house for him started contacting him saying, hey, there's actually people in the house. It's full of furniture, and we go by to show it to people. They say the house is already rented. Go away. I then started getting reports from neighbors because he knew the neighbors. And they said, well, there's lights on at night. There's cars in the driveway. So he contacted the police and the sheriff, who said there's nothing they could do to help. And it actually says police and the sheriff, indicating there's two different groups here. So it's probably the city police and the county sheriff. And they both said they could not do anything to help. They said, I'm sorry, we can't enter the house. It looks like they're living there. You need to go through the courts. Now, if you treat this like it's an eviction case, you're going to evict somebody. The weird part is there's actually forms you can file as a landlord to evict a tenant that asks things like, when was the lease signed? What are the terms of the lease? How much was the monthly rent? Are they in arrears? And the weird part is to file a landlord-tenant claim here, you have to go, no, there's no lease. There's no unpaid rent because there never was any rental agreement. These people are trespassing. They are trespassers. You don't need to evict them in that sense. But that's what these people are often told, which is so frustrating. So then the man had the flash of genius as to how he could beat the cons at their own game. He said, all I needed to do at this point was do the same thing they did and just occupy the house. So when they're not there, he can move in. And when they come to try to evict him, the police will tell them, well, go through the courts. He said, if they can take a house, I can take a house. So he actually drafted a lease agreement, which, by the way, this one's legal because he does this with his mother, who's the owner of the house. He had been taking care of the property, but his mother made him a legal tenant of the property, and as a homeowner, she can do this. Now, we don't know if the previous people dummied up some kind of lease agreement. No mention was made of that here, but that often does happen. But then the man loaded up his car And he packed a gun just in case and set off on a 12-hour drive because he didn't live near the house, which is part of the problem. He got there around 4 a.m., and he waited for the squatters to leave the home for the day. And when they did, he moved in. He entered the house while they were out. When the squatter and her granddaughter returned, he confronted them, telling them they had to be off the property and get out and take all their stuff as soon as possible. He said the conversation went politely, and the anonymous vagabond actually apologized for the inconvenience. But of course, at that point, the vagabond, as they call her here, was stuck. Because what's she going to do? Call the police on him? So she said, "I'm really sorry about all of this," which apparently you can also hear on the video that he shot. It's a nightmare and beyond. And the squatters were gone a day later. And he says, "I think just the fact that I was there was enough. It was actually fun to do it. I won't lie about that. I'm glad it was successful." Handyman cautioned others against taking this approach. "Not everyone should walk through that door not knowing what you're going to find," he said. "It's not always going to be peaceful like that." And I assure you that's the case. I've seen situations before where a bunch of people moved into a home and the homeowner shows up and they're outnumbered. When the police show up, they present some kind of paperwork and go, "Look, no, we've got a lease. We've leased it from the owner." And what are the police going to do? Go look up the records at the Register of Deeds? And so a couple of things I should point out, and many people point this out, is that this guy was preparing the house to have it rented. So chances are the water was turned on, the power was turned on. And I've had people say, "Steve, if you own the house, can't you shut the power off?" Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. There you go. That's one thought. Water, likewise. One thing, though, is people say, "Well, if the police aren't going to help, I shouldn't call them, right?" No, absolutely you call them. Number one, to document what's happening. But number two, to get the identification of the people in the house. Because if the police can't get involved, they can at least write a report and ask for identification of the people in the house, because you're going to have to take legal action against them if you're going to do it the hard way. And so you want to know their names and so on. And so if the police show up and "We can't help you," you'd say, "Well, can you at least file a report indicating that I called you, because I'm going to need to go to court to have them ejected, and I don't even know what their names are. So can you get their names? They should have a problem giving you their names. You know, this you know, they claim it's a legal dispute, should be in court. Well, guess what? We're going to be in court." But I did actually have somebody ask me recently. They go, "Steve, let's suppose this happened to you. What would you do?" Now, every one of these situations is a little different. And in this case, we know the guy lived hours away from the house. It was being prepared to be put on the market. So the power was on, the water was on, the house was livable, and it was being listed as a rental, which, by the way, is a red flag, because there are people out there who look for rentals to run scams on. And so when somebody sees a house that's up for rent, they might take the photographs, put it on Facebook Marketplace, and go, "Hey, this house right here is $400 a month. Just Venmo me the money and climb in the window." Or if there's a lockbox in the front door, they can drive by and see it. Go, yeah, the combination of the back of the lockbox, as it almost always is. I've mentioned that before, but I was recently having a discussion with somebody. They said, "Steve, what would you do if you came home one day and there's literally somebody living in your house, okay? And so you can't get in, and you can see there's people in there, and there's cars in your driveway that aren't yours, and they yell at you through the window to go away. You call the police. Police come out, talk to people. They say, 'No, weirdest thing, they've got a lease.' They show that they've got a lease. They say, 'Yeah, but I'm the owner of the house.' Doesn't matter. They've got a lease. Now, we could do what this man does, assuming that they leave the house and I can sneak in there, right? That's one thing you can do. But let's assume you cannot get in the house and none of the things in the house are available to you, okay? So again, I'm talking about me, and this is not legal advice. This is, I should put a disclaimer on the screen. This is not legal advice. But I'd go to Gander Mountain, because I know where one is, not so far away, Bass Pro Shops kind of place. And I would buy a hunting implement, biggest, baddest, meanest looking thing I could buy. And I think I could do that. And I'd buy one of those. And I would come back to my house at a strange hour. I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning or something. And I know how to get into my own house. And so I would get into my house, and I would have my hunting implement with me. And see, here's the interesting thing. Contrary to the issues raised by the people saying we've got a lease. I'm the true owner. That's my house. I am the true owner of that house. So if somebody were to actually say, fast forward through all the litigation, who's going to win on this one? Who owns the house? I do. I do. I'm the one who bought it. I'm the one who paid for it, and I'm the one who's with the register of deeds. Now, I suppose somebody could have filed fake paperwork, but that'll be easy enough to figure out. However, I'm the true owner of the house. So if there came a time when the people who were squatting illegally on the property and they confront the true owner of the house, guess who wins that argument? I'm talking about that argument at that moment in time. The argument is won by the true owner, especially the true owner has a hunting implement. Now, you may have heard the phrase stand your ground. Now, stand your ground is a reference to what you can and cannot do when you're not inside your own home. But if you're inside your own home, it's actually even better than that. Talk about a man's home is his castle. It doesn't matter if there's squatters in the castle. The man's home is still his castle. And that's still my castle. So I assure you that I would be the last man standing, and they would either leave of their own accord or they'd be carried out. That's it. That's it. Now, I was having this discussion with several relatives. And I will admit, my brothers and I often have discussions where if you were to record them and play them to the public, people don't know us, some of them might seem shocking on some levels. Although they'd probably be pretty funny for most people. And one of my brothers goes, come on, dude, you wouldn't do that. I go, do you honestly think that I'm going to walk away from my own house, call up one of my friends who's an attorney and say, I need you to file paperwork to evict people from my house while all my stuff is in there? Okay? Because I have a sneaky feeling that they're not going to treat it like they have a security deposit and they need to take really good care of my stuff. Okay? And I'm not letting someone else live in my house for 6 weeks with my stuff just because they claim they've got a right to be there when I know they don't and they know they don't. Okay? So getting back to a man's home being his castle, I am in my castle. I'm telling people to leave. If they don't leave forthwith, what are they going to do? Are they going to call the police? Because when the police show up, they're going to go, wait, Mr. Leto, we talked to you a little while ago. We said you couldn't help you. Yeah, I know. I know. And turns out I'm in the house now too. You can't eject me anymore. You can eject them. Because he goes, well, they've got a lease. I go, yeah, I've got a title. I can show you the title work. I know where it is and I can get to it now. So I would not worry about that at all. And I know some people are going to say, Steve, fast forward ahead in this. And let's assume things got ugly. Push came to shove. Shove came to whatever follows. Alphabetically. Okay? You really think a jury is going to side with the people who broke into the house, climbed in the window, whatever they did, paid somebody in Facebook Marketplace hundreds of dollars below market value to move into a house that was strangely already filled with stuff and looked very, very lived in. And they, when told they had to leave, said no. And when the true owner came back and asked them to leave, a confrontation happened. How do you think it's going to go down? And by the way, you could say, Steve, you can't predict the future. Maybe things would go badly. Maybe you would get in legal trouble for that. I'd take it. Some things in life are worth getting legal trouble for. And that'd be one of them. Because in my mind, if you start listing the rights you have as an American, and by now you should start cueing the music from Green Acres, the rights you have as an American, one of them is to be secure in your own home. And there, in my mind, are some things where you should call the police if you can. But if you can't call the police, then there are a few things where self-help is actually appropriate. One of them is in self-defense. Somebody attacks you. Oh, I'm going to call the police. Someone's attacking me. I'll call the police after I've done what I can to protect myself. And in my mind, protecting your own home would be the exact same thing. So my hat is off to this guy, and I mean that this guy is my hero. He's my absolute hero, a Nevada man who turned the tables on squatters by simply squatting in the house himself and telling them to leave. It's genius because it worked, and it's genius because it's actually so simple and brilliant. And obviously, he even says it wouldn't work for everybody, but it worked for him. So for him to have done that makes him a genius and a hero in my mind. So there you go. Nevada man turns tables and squatters by squatting himself. New York Post, John Levine wrote that it happened in Nevada. Questions or comments, as always, put them below. This, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The only way out is through.